Lord, ever since the beginning of this service, we can actually feel your presence here. And this is not something unusual. I mean, this place, this church is on fire. This place is on fire. I mean, today especially, I don't know why today. Perhaps it's because I'm going to preach, I hope. I don't know. But today is on fire, just like every other Sunday that we come here. The Holy Spirit is presence. I can feel His presence. I can feel His presence right here and now. He is here. And I just want to say to Him right now, take over, Holy Spirit. Take over, because it is you that is going to be preaching today. Just use me and preach your sermon, the one that you want your people to hear, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated, church. Yes. Thanks for the old and faith for the new. We have spoken about that already today. This is not the first time. Pastor was talking a few minutes ago about, it is time to think about what happened during the year. It is time to see what we have done during this year, what crimes we have committed towards God, and also what blessings we have received. You know, this is the time. I know this is the last Sunday of this year. Did you realize that? This is the last Sunday. Next Sunday, it's a new year. Right? We are entering in a new time. 2010. Double digits at the end. Wow. 10 years. I never thought that I'd get there, actually. You know, it was the year 2000. You know, and you thought, hey, 2000, I mean, we're in 1990-something. And then there's 2000. And you say, wow, we're changing from a 1-9 to a 2-0. And then 3 years before that, you're thinking, hey, am I ever going to make, am I going to know the year 2000? You know, now we're 2010 coming up. That's 10 years ago. You know, and then we sit back and think, hey, what's happened during that 10 years? And everywhere on television you can see these things. Ah, they're summarizing the decade, you know, and they're summarizing the successes of people the successes of people come from God. Yes. Never forget that. Even the ones who don't know Him, He actually lets everything happen. He is the one that ordains all things.
Amen.
I just want to use this opportunity today just to have a look at 2009 and say, hey, what has happened in 2009? You know, for me, 2009 is the main theme of this preaching today is thankfulness. Thankfulness. Even if things happen that are not so good, we need to be thankful. Whatever happened during 2009, we need to be thankful. Why? Why? Because it is all ordained by the Lord. Every single thing that happens is ordained by the Lord. And if we look at that, 2009 is extraordinary for everybody. It's extraordinary simply by the fact that we are still alive in 2009. The Lord just kept us there. He kept us alive in 2009 throughout the whole year. Through highs and lows, through good and bad, He kept us alive. We have life. And not only physical life, but we have eternal life, guys. Amen. We have eternal life. 2009 is a miracle. It's a miracle year. It's a year that has been, that every single moment, every single instant, God has breathed His breath of life into our lives. If it's only that, that is already a fantastic miracle. And if it's only that, we need to be thankful. And we praise the Lord for that. And we praise the Lord for that. Psalm 9:11 says, sing praises to the Lord who dwell in Zion. Declare His deeds among the people. Psalm 9:11 says, declare His deeds among the people. We need to tell everybody what the Lord has done in our lives. Amen. And there's a reason for that. And that reason is, well, there are many reasons, but I'll give you two. The first one is thankfulness. We praise Him and we thank Him for everything that He has done. So we share it. You know, when somebody has done something wonderful for you, what do? The first thing you go to your neighbor, you go to your parents, you go to your brother, you go to your sister, and say, hey, this has happened to me. You know, this is what's happened in my life. I want to share that with you because I'm happy. My heart is burning. My heart inside is warm. I want to share that with you. And this is why the Bible says, share, declare his deeds to the people. Declare his deeds. Whatever has happened, even if it's bad, declare it to the people. It is a deed of God. And the bad things, he always turns into good. So those bad things have to be declared so we can declare our faith that these things are going to turn into good. Whatever it may be. And sometimes we think, hey, we are going through a bad time here. We are going through a dreadful time. And we are walking through the valley of death. But we know, like we sang during the worship, God is there with us.
Yes.
In the highs and the lows, he never lets us go. Wow! I thought that, you know, that is fantastic. That is so fantastic. I didn't realize, you know, sometimes you sing a song, right? And you sing it several times and several Sundays, and then suddenly that song has a specific significance for you.
Yes.
You know, it just comes through and you say, through the highs, through the lows, he never lets you go.
Yes.
You know, whatever has been bad this year is turning for good.
Amen.
And you don't mind if it doesn't happen yet. If you haven't seen it, it doesn't matter. There's a Brazilian song, a worship song that says that if you can't hear God, if you can't see him working, if you can't hear him, it's because he's actually working for you. That's the translation, literal translation of what the song says. If you can't hear him, it's because he's working. So if you haven't got the results yet, you must have faith that God is already working in your life.
Amen.
He's doing that. And do you know what's extraordinary? Is that he's working in my life. Yeah. But at the same time, he's working in yours, and in yours, and in yours, and in yours, and in yours. He's working in every single person's life here. And I don't know, 30 billion people on the earth, he's working in their lives. Because our God is omnipotent. He is the God who can do everything. He is the God that can be everywhere. At the same time, he is omnipresent. And he works in our lives. And he gets things moving. And whatever is bad, whatever the devil throws at us, if we believe in him, he is going to turn it around. And it's going to be something so marvelous that's going to happen.
Yes.
We don't know what it is, but he does, because it is already marked in his major plan for our lives. And for the lives in general of the church. And of in his plan of the future. Our little part is already marked. We can't see it, but we know through faith that he is working for us. And we ought to be grateful. Be thankful to him, says the Lord, says the Bible. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Wow. Be thankful. Be thankful. Even for very small things, be thankful. Now life is such a big thing, but there are so small things. The smile that you got this morning when you walked through the street. Somebody smiled at you. Be grateful. Be grateful for the fact that you'll be able to come here tonight, today.
Yes.
Just the fact of being here, be grateful. It is so fantastic. Everything that you have done. You know, and if I look at 2009, you know, the best way to talk about things is to tell people what has happened in your life. Right? Because then they compare and they say, hey, something like that has happened to me. Or if it hasn't happened to me yet, it's going to happen to me next year or the next month. But I know something like that is going to happen. Now, it so happens that the beginning of the year last year was a bit of a difficult year for me. But there's so many things to tell. So many things that I've got to just pick a few of them and say, well, you know, I wrote down here that I started preaching in March last year officially.
Amen.
Right? In March. So we're not even, that's not even a year ago. And I've already been ministering in Brazil. Praise God. You know, I've been invited to churches down there. I mean, this is just in a few months. You know, the Lord has lifted me up. Praise God. I mean, I'm so thankful to him for his work in my life. And in my wife's life, this is a ministry that we have together. I mean, this is so fantastic. You know, you're sitting there in a church, you're doing a few things, and then suddenly God takes you and puts you somewhere else. And he says, you are going to work for me, my son. And I say, amen. Amen. be thankful to him and bless his name. Yeah? And, of course, you've got this feeling. You said, but why me, Lord? You know, I mean, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy. But who is worthy? I think no one. Without God's grace, nobody is worthy. But there is the divine grace. The divine grace that comes along and that says, whatever you do, whatever you have done, I am forgiving you. Because the grace of God is there. And the grace is something that is free. It's something totally free. You don't have to do anything to receive God's grace apart from believing. And then everything that you have done is wiped away. And you are ready, to work for God and to receive His blessings. Of course, there is a condition of repentance. We need to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for what I have done, the thoughts that I have thought, the deeds that I have done, the actions, you know, that sometimes you say, you get angry. I've got angry with my wife this year. I do apologize, darling. But it happens. You get angry without any reason. You say, well, you know, why on earth is this happening? Well, because you're not strong enough and you don't recognize that at that point the devil is trying to destroy your relationship. So just be strong. You know, and say, I'm sorry, you know, and just start again. But there's the grace of God. And in this case, I had the grace of my wife as well, because she said, that's okay, don't worry. We'll start again, you know. And that's what needs to happen. This is, and I know everything, every married couple has these things sometimes, you know. And then you just need to have that grace between you. And it's the grace of God. He's giving you that grace to share among you. Because you are one. There are no just two separate people. It's just one. You have become one flesh. Be thankful to Him and bless His name.
Amen.
You know, God is so wonderful. And at that point I said, yes, Lord, I mean, I know I need to preach. I had that in my heart. But I didn't know what to do. And suddenly the Holy Spirit... Can we have the next slide, please? The Holy Spirit showed me something. And He showed me a flame. And I had no idea how to start working for Him. I had no idea. Can we have the next slide, please? No. Yes, that's the one I would like to see. Thank you. And that one there is exactly what the Holy Spirit showed me. He showed me a flame on a platter. And I said, but what do you mean by that? What do I need to do? I mean, what is that? But at the same time, He defined that for me and He said, reviving fire.
Amen.
That is a reviving fire. I said, I know, that is the name of the ministry that He's putting me in.
Amen.
Okay? So at that point I said, yes, okay, fine. Now, but explain to me what you want from me. Explain to me what you want from me. And He showed me, you know, a verse in the Bible which talks about the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And He showed me that in the churches, I'm not talking about this church, but in many churches, 80% of the people are apathetic and they just come on Sunday and that's it. Just because to show their presence and they come to church. But they're not active. And He said to me, go and preach to those people.
Amen.
Because those are the laborers. Those are the laborers that already exist who know you, who have heard of God, who have heard of Jesus. He said, we need those laborers as well as we need the lost souls. But just imagine if every single person of that 80% in every single church was active and brought one soul within the church during 1 year. Just imagine.
Amen.
And that's the burden that the Holy Spirit has put on my heart. That's the burden that He's put on my heart. And that is how the ministry started. And then, of course, I said, but Lord, how am I going to develop this? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? I said, I don't know anybody. And I just want you to think about during 2009, in your own lives, something special that God has done for you. Something in your life, in this year of 2009, and to see what I'm sure so every single person here must have something, even if it's a small thing, but something that you can be so grateful for. Because gratefulness is something that comes in the heart. That is something that's in the heart. That is not something that you say. Yes, you pronounce words, but it's in here. It's inside you. It's inside you, and it's that warm feeling. You know, you feel good inside. You just feel good inside, and you're thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm thankful to you, and I bless your name for what you have done for me. And, you know, but how do you get this thing within your heart? Well, to start off with, you have to have an open heart. If you have a heart of stone, it's not going to happen. You need to have a heart of flesh, which is the one that our Lord Jesus gives you when you give your life to Him.
Amen.
He changes your heart of stone and He puts a heart of flesh there. And then you start feeding it, you start watering that. And how do you do that? By reading the Bible. By reading the Word of God and listening to what He's saying to you. And you grow close to Him. Like Pastor Eddie was saying today, He becomes our best friend. And when He becomes our best friend, then we have this warm feeling inside. And whatever He does, we say, hey, wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I bless your name for what you're doing for us. You know, and I bless your name. So after that, when I shared this with my wife, and you know, instantly she realized that this was the ministry that we were supposed to be in. She immediately, without any hesitation, said, yes, that comes from God. Amen. So when she says that, I know it's true. Amen. Because somehow, guys, we need to listen to our wives. Do you know that? We don't want to, but we've got to listen to them. We have no desire to listen to them, but we've got to listen to them. Because I'm going to tell you, 99.9 times out of 100, they are right. Unfortunately, it's true. Of course, they're wonderful because they just let us think that we're right. Okay? But they are in fact right. And we ought to listen to what they say. Because that little advice that they sometimes give, because we normally don't ask them advice, we just go on and do our own thing. But when we do ask them their advice, that advice is so precious that if we don't listen, things go wrong. Because that is the other 50%. And every single thing that we do, we've got to ask to God, but ask your wife when you're married. And when you have that unity between both of us, between husband and wife, then the boat rocks. The boat rocks. But when there's a disagreement, well, be thankful for your wife and bless His name for her. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you. Well, so then, of course, we came to the point where we were in the other church, where we were, the structure of that church did not really allow our ministry to start because it's a different type of church. Okay? So the Lord led us here. It took several months of preparation, of prayer, and of hurt and pain, because it was not easy. I mean, we've been with the other church for 10 years, and even more for my wife, because the church where we were was in fact her sister's church. So you can imagine the pain that my wife went through to have to change. But she recognized that it was the call of God. And sometimes God does things to you and He says, do that. And it hurts. But obedience is more important. And then He turns that into something glorious. Because you were obedient. Be thankful for these things. And bless His name. Hallelujah. And bless His name. So here we are now in Sunrise Church. You know. So we're here now. Supported by not only our beloved Pastor Eddie here, but also through COC now, which is a worldwide organization. So, you know, these things are starting to happen all over the place. And Eddie knows that. And I know that. And my wife knows it. And you all know it. Things are happening. I mean, within a few months, I was preaching in Brazil. You know, it's absolutely fantastic because we were actually going there for a wedding. And it turned out to be a missionary trip. Well, it did. I preached there 8 or 9 times. I can't remember exactly how many. It was just, you know, there was 1 week where I was practically preaching nearly every day and I was tired. But I said, whoa, you know, but that wasn't foreseen. But God used that opportunity. Praise His name. And I'm thankful to Him and I bless His name for it. Right? So, you know, all these little things, that gratefulness that you have in your heart, give it back to Him because it comes from Him. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. This is what I just said, you know. Doesn't matter what happens inside of you. Doesn't matter if you've been bad. Doesn't matter if you've sinned. As long as you ask for forgiveness, the Bible says that we all fall short of the grace of God, of the glory of God. We all fall short. We all sin. Nobody is perfect. But we need to get down on our knees and say, I'm sorry, Lord, and His grace will abound. And His grace will abound. And when we do that, then we can say, praise the Lord and bless His name. Did you know that after the Holy Spirit showed me reviving fire and when all this started to happen, the devil threw me an A&E. And I was in hospital for 3 weeks, for 3 days. He attacked me during that night. I thought I was going to die. I really did. That was back in, let me see if I wrote that down. No, I didn't write it down, but, you know, and I had such pain in my chest. I thought I had a heart attack. And it was so strong that we actually had to call 999 and they took me into hospital. And I stayed there for 3 days and they analyzed things. And you know, once I was there, I realized why I was there. Because that opportunity was given to me to preach to all the people that lying in their beds. And they couldn't run away. There's nothing they could do. And I was just talking God into their lives at such a point that they isolated me in the hospital. They took me to another room. Because they said I was bothering the patients. So I got up in my bed, I got out and went to the room back there. And I sat on their beds and I carried on preaching God to them. Eventually they threw me out of the hospital after 3 days. But okay, that's why I was there. Because the two men gave their life to Jesus while I was there. Amen. So you always think, no, why? You know, the devil is doing this to me. Why? I mean, it's painful, I can tell you. But I didn't have anything. The doctors couldn't find anything. There was nothing wrong with my heart. They analyzed my blood. I didn't have angina. I didn't have a heart attack. I didn't have anything. Just terrible pain. So I knew it was spiritual. So, I started preaching. And I came back home. And you know, when you work for God, the devil doesn't like it. And he always tries to throw spanners in the works like they say here in England, you know. And it's true. Boy, be thankful to Him. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Amen. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. And I thank the Lord for those days in A&E. I thank Him for that period in hospital. And I thank Him because they threw me out. Saying, you haven't got anything, get out of here. You're annoying people. But I took two guys with me. Hey, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I bless your name for that time. Amen. Yeah. And then we had the news. That was in August. So this must have been in July. June or July. Because then afterwards in August, there was one member of the previous church that wasn't here yet. Okay. Who was extremely sick. Some people may know her. Some people may not. Her name was Carla. And she was taken into hospital a couple of months before that with cancer. She had leukemia. And she had a little daughter. And it was a very difficult time for everybody. And we went there to pray. And I remember we went there with Tina and with the other pastor there, and we went into her room and we prayed and we anointed her. And I said to the pastor and to my wife, I said, you must anoint her. And when I mean anoint her, I don't mean just put a drop of oil on her forehead. I want you to anoint her. And they did. And I can assure you there was not one square centimeter of her body that was not filled with oil. They anointed her body. And I prayed for her. And I held her so tight and I could feel the Spirit working. I could feel the warmth of the Spirit passing through my body into hers. And then there was a bit of sad news. 3 weeks later, she died. And you say, but why on earth did she die? We knew she got healed. And she did get healed. And you know what? The doctors declared that when she died, she had no trace of cancer. She had no trace of cancer whatsoever. God had healed her. We had faith that she would be healed of cancer. And she was healed. Now what God's design was, by bringing her back to Him, nobody knows. But there is a purpose. And one day, her family will know. Perhaps we will only know when we get back up there. But the fact is that God healed her. And I'm thankful to Him and I bless His name for that healing. Because that shows His power working through us. And as Pastor Eddie was saying, we have the power. Use it. Yes. You have authority over the evil spirits. Use it. You have authority over cancer. Use that authority. You have authority over the waves of the sea and the rain that comes down from heaven. Use your authority. Don't be afraid. We are the sons of the glorious God. We have the same power and authority that Jesus Christ has. Because we are covered by His precious blood. And that authority He has given to us. So use that authority. In all circumstances, speak to those circumstances. And use your authority. Do it wisely and with discernment. But you have the authority. Never forget that. And be thankful and bless His name for that authority. And then in September, there was the change of church. And then the trip to Brazil, which I'm still so thankful for. Because it was a very anointed time. And it's very strange, there are times like that in your life where you feel so close to God. Well, you feel Him being close to you. Right? Because normally when you're walking through your daily life, I don't necessarily feel the presence of God next to me all the time. I know He's there, but I don't necessarily feel Him. I know He's there. And in every high and every low, He never lets me go. Wow! He's there all the time. We've been singing about that. Wonderful. But then there's these special times when you just walk with Him. Or rather, He's walking with you. But I don't know if it's you walking with Him or Him with you, but the fact is that you're walking together. And you're walking in the same direction. And you can actually feel Him. And it doesn't matter what happens around you, the only thing that you can feel is God. And you're there and you're walking along and people are shouting and praying and singing and doing all sorts of things and drinking and having churrasco and having... the only thing you can feel is God. And you're just going from one church to another and you go and see your family, you're going to have a supper. And you just can't feel that. You just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I just want to live that day in, day out. And I'm angry when it doesn't happen. I said, but God, where are you? I can't feel you. I want that. I know He's here right now. I can feel Him. He's here. Praise the Lord. Bless His name. Bless His name. He's here right now. I never want to lose this. Every single moment of my life, I want to be standing up in front of people and preaching because that is when He's with me and I can feel Him. Oh, He's inside of me and He's preaching for me. It's the most precious time. I don't know, bless his name. It's the most precious time. You know? And then there's more in 2010. 2009 there's more. As the ministry started, you know, as you all know probably, if you don't, I'm going to announce it now. All the preachers are on the internet. It's called revivingfire.com. Okay? So you can go there. And there's also a podcast where you can just log on to the podcast and it'll download every new preaching that's on the internet for you. And I've been blessed because on this site there is a map. I think it's called Cluster Maps, if I remember rightly. And then you can see where people have actually been looking at your website. And there's people in America, there's people in Africa, there's people in India, Singapore. And these people have been even in China. There's a couple of people. There's two specific. I've had a look at the IP address of these people. And they're actually in China, in Beijing. And I say, praise the Lord for that. Because I'm reaching people that I never thought, you know, God is touching these lives. He's using me, and I bless his name. So I'm thankful for that. You know. And then through this, I've actually been invited for a crusade in Zimbabwe. We'll talk about that after the new year, because there we go. Hey, we're going to have to do this together. Because it's not only Zimbabwe. But there's two pastors in Kenya who invited me. And I would also like to go to Mozambique because there is another pastor there that's doing a fantastic job. He has 22 churches there. And he's been there for many years. I think he's about, is it 15 or maybe 20 years he's been there. Pastor Eddie knows him as well. And because Zimbabwe and Mozambique are just one next to the other, I thought it might be an idea if the money is available. And if he's available to receive me, of course, I'd very much like to go there as well. And that would mean a trip of, you know, three countries where you can actually preach to people. And wow. I mean, when I saw, I just couldn't believe my eyes when I saw these emails coming in. I thought, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're opening the doors, Lord. I am thankful to you and I bless your name. Hallelujah. Whoa. Yes. So, I'm very thankful for this year. I'm very thankful for this year. Although this year is not finished yet. Although this year is not finished yet, and although, when was it, darling? 2 weeks ago that was back in A&E again? Yeah. Oh, 3 weeks ago? The devil's doing it to me again! But then I knew I didn't have angina, so I just went in just because I needed a relief for the pain. And then they did realize there was something. It's just something in my stomach that's not working too good. And they just give me a couple of tablets, and I praise the Lord for the doctors, and end the story. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But just to let you know that you've got to believe that these things, God lets them happen. There's a reason. I don't know what the reason was this time. But the fact is that God lets these things happen. And he brings you back down to earth and say, hey, you know, think about things. Why am I doing this to you? Or why am I letting this happen? It's just like Job. You know, he was thinking, why on earth, God, you think, you know, why? Why me? I'm a righteous man. Why do you allow this to happen? And he questioned God. Right? So I'm not going to go into that because otherwise we'll be here until tomorrow morning. But just accept and be grateful and bless the name of the Lord. And when we do that, we, you know, as Eddie said, you know, the year isn't finished yet. There's another week. And he said, but all these things that we've dreamt of, that the dreams that we have, nothing has come true. Nothing has happened yet. There's still another week, as he says. That's true. And you might still not see things happening during that week. But the fact is that if God has promised it to you, he's working on it right now. Amen. And it will come to happen. But he has already started it. Because if he's promised it to you in 2009, remember 2009 is till the 31st of January at 59 seconds. You still got 1 second, right? And it still happened. Right? So, but in any case, if it doesn't happen, he's working on it. And we know that. And that's where faith comes in. And that is where faith comes in. And that's why I said in the title of my sermon today, thanks for the old and faith for the new. Because faith for the new We don't know what's going to happen in 2010, apart that we know that it's going to be a glorious year, and we also know that that's the year when this church is going to move to other premises, because that is what we believe. Now that is what God has put in our heart. And if it doesn't happen this year, that means that at least God is going to initiate this all this year. And that we might be moving on the 31st of December 2010. But the fact is that we know that God has given us a promise that this year is going to be the year of the move.
Amen.
We are moving to a 24-hour premises.
Amen.
We can't see it. We can't see it. But Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of the things unseen. We know it's going to happen. Grab hold of it. Put an image in your mind. Put an image in your head. Keep it in your heart. Whatever dreams you have for 2010, just keep them in your heart and say, Lord, I know it's going to happen this year. Because that is what faith is all about. Is to know that the result is going to be there, although you cannot see anything. You just trust God that it's going to happen. And you know in your heart that it's going to happen. I just want to encourage you today to keep your dreams alive and to believe and to have faith. Right? You believe in God for something. And when His promises are there, you know they are going to come true. And you walk right into that promise. And you just grab it and you say, Lord, this land is mine because you have given it to me. I mean, it's fantastic. Please understand what faith does. The substance of things not seen. And then suddenly this thing appears in front of you. You drive up to the place and you say, wow, that is the place. And you know it because you feel it in your heart. And not only that, God does much more than you would ever think He's going to be doing. I just want to share what the results of faith does. When you believe from the deepest of your heart that God is going to act in your life, He will do it. I mean, and this is a material thing, I know. But sometimes the material things are necessary so that people realize what the invisible can be done. Like we said about this healing of Carla. You know, she died and he said, well, I thought God had healed her. I mean, He had promised me healing. He said, I'm going to heal her. And you know, when God uses me for healing, I know He is healing. Because I can feel His power through me. It's, you know, Jesus said at one point, who touched me? Because I felt power going out of me, He said. Right? Now, I don't want to compare myself with Jesus. Please don't think that. No, far from. But I just want that you feel that power of God. You feel that power. And you say, well, but why? Why did she die? You know? I thought God had healed her. Well, did you have faith that He was going to heal her or not? The answer is yes. And the answer, and it only came 3 weeks later, after her funeral, that we knew the results. I mean, we were shown the medical report saying that she didn't have cancer when she died.
Amen.
She died of something completely different. Actually, got out of bed, wanted to go to the toilet and fell. And she bruised her head and, if I remember rightly, something started bleeding inside of her. But it wasn't cancer. She didn't die of cancer. So she was healed.
Amen.
So I just want to show you that faith in things that you don't see comes through things that you do see. Because it is through things that you do see, like miraculous healings, or things that happen in your life, or into your brother's life, that you know that things happen in the spiritual world. See, if it's happening that you can see it, it also happens when you can't see it. And what you can see, guys, is such a little portion of what you can't see that is happening. Sometimes God just lifts the veil a little bit. He says, hey, I'll let you have a peek in there. You know, so I'm going to give you something. Just to test you, not to test your faith, but to show you faith that you have. And that happens in the spiritual world all the time. Amen? So, you know, that portion of faith that you have today regarding 2010, please, the dreams that you have, hand them over to the Lord. And have faith. The ones who haven't got a job, have faith that God is going to give you a job. I mean, everybody has been talking this year about recession and all that sort of stuff and losing money. And I mean, this is the year that we've been blessed. We didn't feel any recession. Because we don't work in that system. If I remember rightly, it's David Copeland, Kenneth Copeland that speaks about the Babylonian system. We don't work with the Babylonian system. We work with the system of God. And His treasures are 100 billion thousand fold more than whatever the systems of the earth, money-wise. He is the owner of the gold and the silver. He is the one who distributes it. He is the one who gives it to you, and He is the one who takes it back. He controls it. So why should we have problems in recession? Very honestly, we haven't felt it. On the contrary, look what we've received. So your dreams, give them to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, this is a promise that you have given me. And you know, you'll feel when it's a promise. You feel that inside. You know, you can say things and say, yeah, okay, well, it's true. I don't even want to drive a Ferrari, but I'd like to drive a Mercedes, you know. Yeah, sure, not a problem. But I'm not worried about it. It's not something that bothers me. I do ask God to keep my car going. I want to keep it another 3 or 4 years until we get to Brazil. You know, I don't want to buy another one. So, you know, just put your dream. You'll know when He gives you a promise. And when He does give you that promise, hang on to it. And have faith. And say, yes, this is going to happen. I know. And start dreaming about it. Develop that thought and say, if it's a job you want, and if it's a job that God has promised you, then you have to start thinking about that job. Say, what am I going to do into that job? What am I going to do in that job? This is my position. Yes, I'm going to be there. I'm going to work for the general manager, or I'm going to work for the manager under, or I'm just going to, I don't know, whatever you want to do, and say, okay, but I'm going to do it the best I can. And then I'm going to, with the money that I'm going to receive, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to make an offering, and then I'm going to do this with it. I'm going to do that and that and that. I'm going to prepare my future life. I'm going to pray for a wife if I haven't got one. I'll pray for a son or a daughter if I haven't got one. And I'm going to invest, and I'm going to, and make projects. Make projects with the dreams that God has given you. Because God does not just want to give you something small. He wants to give you something big. So think big. We have a big God. We don't have a small God. We have a gigantic God. So let your dreams be gigantic. And at the same time, your measure of faith has to be bigger even than the dreams that you have. You have to have very strong and very, very big faith. Because to have big dreams come true, you have to have big faith. Just like there's projects here in this church where you need an enormous amount of faith for. Now we do want that faith, and we're going to walk, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe that these things are going to happen in this church. Just like that trip to Africa. There's going to be a presentation, there's going to be costs put up there, and I believe the Lord for those finances to allow us to go and preach to those people. I have big dreams. I don't want to go out there and say, on a shoestring saying, oh, do you think we can afford a sandwich between both of us, darling? Or do we have to rely entirely on to those poor people there who haven't got anything to feed us? No. I believe that God is going to provide every single penny that is needed for our trip down there. Because I know it is our trip. It is not a project. It is our trip to Africa this year. It is the trip of Sunrise Church. Together with Reviving Fire, we are going to Africa, and we are going to preach to those people, and we're going to teach them the Word of God, and we're going to raise up people. And who knows, perhaps we'll link up with one of those ministries. Who knows? And then we'll have to have a duty of supporting them. But that's the future. God is first going to take us there. And then we'll decide. And then we'll see. And so forth. And we have those dreams. And we pray. Big dreams. Oh, I don't want to compare myself to Bonky. No, I'm not a Bonky. But if I can go and preach wherever God sends me or puts in my heart, I'll just be the happiest man ever. Why? Because I'll actually be working for Him, and I know that at that time He's going to be with me all the time. And that's what I want. Because my life has no sense without that. It doesn't mean anything. I might as well go home to Him if I can't do that. Because if the words that He puts in my mouth don't touch anybody, what's the use of me being out here? Amen? So I'd just like to ask you to think of a project right now for 2010 and just present it to the Lord and ask Him to bring it to fruition in 2010. And sometimes we need to say to the Lord, Lord, I've been dreaming about this for years. Say, Lord, if it is Your will, but I'm tired of waiting. I need this in my life right now, Lord. You know? So, please, Lord, I present to You tonight, or today, sorry, every single dream that every member of this community has. And I would like to bring them before You, Lord, because You know the desires of the people's hearts, because Your word teaches us that You put the desires in our hearts, Lord. So I present them to You, Lord, and I ask You, dear God, to bring them to fruition, that every person may be blessed 100-fold what we have been blessed in 2009, Lord. And I ask You to open this church, Lord. And I ask You, Lord, that this church may multiply. And I ask You, Lord, that this church may receive new premises this year, Lord, in 2010. That the doors that You have showed Eddie may open, Lord. And that we may finally have our place where we can worship You 24/7, Lord. Where we might have other activities, social activities, Lord. Where we may serve the community day in and day out, Lord. I ask You, Lord, that 2010 may be this miraculous year, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that every single person right here at this moment in time may present their specific project to You, Lord. And that these projects may grow in their hearts, Lord, to be dreams, and that these dreams may become reality, Lord. I thank You. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, and I bless Your name.